We'll be right back. handedly, with the help of such an amazing team, put together a virtual summiteers, the collective of professionals who are into virtual summits, putting on virtual events, and how to help people grow their business. So today we're going to be doing the deep dive into what this is all about, what motivates her, why she's doing what she's doing, and furthermore, how you can take advantage of this information, how it can grow your business, how it can help you to be all that you can be. And I'm not talking about the Army either. So, Erica, I'm real excited about today. Today we're going to be talking about reflecting on your event launch and measuring success. Now, you know what they say. You can do a whole lot of things, but if you haven't measured it, then you don't really know if you've actually achieved it. You're just playing a guessing game with your business. And we don't want to do that. We want to make sure that everything that you've set out for your business to accomplish, that you can look back and say, you know what, we did A, B, and C, and we got D, or we got all the way to Z. So if you're not yet doing that, you want to stay tuned today, because today we're going to be talking about measuring success and reflecting on your event launch. How do you go back and see what it is that you did, what worked, what didn't work? How do you tweak it and make it better the next time? It's not about the launch. It's about the iteration and reiteration. How do you continue to build upon the model in order to make sure that when you get to your finish line, it is everything that you wanted it to be from the onset of your planning? Erica, welcome to the stage.
Yeah, that was a really nice introduction. I appreciate that.
Well, let's dive into this a little bit, Erica, because, you know, I'm always intrigued with what you've got going on, always intrigued with how your mind works. You are one who easily gets in front of prominent people in this space, particularly the SaaS space, and you have a way of drawing out of them their expertise and also the how. How does this work for my marketplace, which benefits so many industries? So what does that look like for you? What goes through your mind when you're reaching out to people and saying, hey, I need you on my platform. My people need to know what you know. What does that conversation look like?
First, I want to know if your topic, your subject matter would vibe well with the Virtual Summiteers peer group. I want to know if what you can do can actually help the people in our group. Because if not, it's not a good fit. But if it is a good fit, then more people would want to hear what you have to say, more people show up, and hopefully they'll reach out to you, because that's what we want. We want a shared mutual audience.
Mm. I like that, shared mutual audience. When you're building your audience, what does that look like to you? Because you have a collective of people, and they're all geeks in their own way, you know. I frequented the space. What do you look for when you are curating those experts to be inside of your space?
Yeah, around brilliant people. Because you know the saying, you're the average of the five people you're around the most. Mm-hmm. So I like being around brilliant people, because hopefully it's going to rub off on me. Hopefully I'm going to have something brilliant also to share, and we can use that to collaborate, work together, help each other out. So yeah, that's what I look for. Do you know your subject? Do you know your subject well? Can your subject help me? Can your subject help others? Yeah. So I want to be around brilliant people.
Yeah. You started Virtual Summiteers, and you've got another asset, which is Talk Virtual. Tell me, how did that start? What was that at the beginning, and then what has it evolved into over time?
So it all started when I wanted to host an in-person event in 2020. 2020 was about to come about, and I thought it would be a whole thing to bring something, or bring your future into focus. That was going to be the theme of that event. So I call around, I visit places, and they all said, we don't want to rent our venue to you. And I was really sad about that. So I thought my choices were to find land and put my own building there and host my own events. No need to ask for permission. But then I met Benjamin Dale on Hey Summit. He is the owner of Hey Summit. But I met him through AppSumo. And he told me about virtual events. And I don't know if I was being cheap or what, but I was assuming that it would be a lot easier to host an event online. So I hung out with Ben for a while, bought Hey Summit, went through their training course about how to host events online, hosted my first event online in 2020, and it was pre-recorded, and I thought that was pretty cool. But more people were interested in, how'd you do that? Would you show me how to do that? So that's how I got into what I'm doing now.
What has been the response? Because you started it, the next step was you have to let people know about it, I'd imagine. What was the initial response of the people that you started inviting to your space, and how did you curate those people? Yes, I understand the brilliance and all of that, but what highlighted to you that they were brilliant and that you wanted them in your space? How did you vet that from the onset?
So when I say, if you know your subject and you know your subject well, it's like, do you know beyond the extent of my knowledge of what you do? Because if you're the expert, I'm going to assume that you know more than me. And I know I'm not supposed to assume, but I do. And I do it a lot. So if you know more than me, like Jason, you know way more than me about copywriting. You know way more than me about media. And I love that about you. So I think that you're the expert in your field. And I think that you're brilliant at what you do, because I've taken marketing classes. I know what you know. So I have a degree in marketing, and I do not know what you know. So
tell me something, because you have this uncanny way of approaching people. Now, where most people would tell themselves no, like, there's no way I can reach out to this person. I mean, you've had many prominent people on your platform, and that's from the onset, from the beginning. There is something that you do in your mind that causes you to bridge between, you know what, there's no way that I could possibly reach out to a Gary Vaynerchuk or a Myron Golden or, you name it, a Doc Williams, so on and so forth. But you override that, or it doesn't exist. What is it that allows you to reach out to these people who are prominent, who have major, large platforms, in order to invite them onto your platform?
Wouldn't hurt to ask. Worst thing that can happen, they say yes and expect you to do everything that you said that you were going to do. So it's up to me to keep my word after that. So all I need to do is keep my word and follow through. Sometimes I have trouble with the follow through part, but I'm very good at keeping my word.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So tell me something. There's been a lot of aha moments that people have gotten from being a participant in your platform, whether they're inside of the community itself, which I do suggest that folks who are watching this get into our community, or if it is that they are just those who are looking at things from the sidelines, and they're able to take nuggets from what they learn from the experts, nuggets from what they see you doing, nuggets from the growth that they've seen you over the past 4 or 5 years doing virtual summiteers. What is it that you hear the most come out of people's mouths when they say, hey, that really helped me? How does that come up?
I think the first thing I hear is, thank you for turning off the live stream. I thought that was weird, but I hear that way more than, I've heard it way more than 10 times now. So I think that makes people.
That's from experts or what? Who's saying that?
The guest who's on with us live. So they usually have their cameras off, and then I tell them that we're turning off the live stream, and those who are with us live in the studio audience get to ask the experts questions, and they really enjoy that part. So I think that makes people comfortable, and I think that makes the experts who's speaking more comfortable, because everybody has their camera on, and people are laughing and joking, asking serious questions. And the people who play around sometimes, they ask silly questions, but I get that really helped me.
Nice. What do you want to achieve with Virtual Summiteers, with all what you're doing in order to move the needle forward for those professionals who create virtual summits, online events, hybrid events, what do you want to see happen?
Okay, so I want it to be a community where it's okay to say how you really feel, how you really see things, what you really want to get, and not have a fear of, oh, they're going to take that idea. And I feel that the people in the group are so brilliant. Jason, you are so brilliant. You can tell me your entire plan step by step. I will not be able to pull it off like you do because you have that brilliance about you. And I don't think that everybody has the same kind of brilliance. Everybody's brilliant in their own way. So if you told all of us a plan for an event you want to do, mm-hmm. all of them would be different, every last one of them, because we don't have the same, I would say, touch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What have you noticed the common thread that binds everybody together, and also the anomaly, if you will, that makes it curious for you to see people from different walks of life, professionals from different walks of life, different industries? I mean, we've got somebody who is a water expert inside of the space. We've got a media architect. We've got an interior entry specialist. We've got a DJ and a multi-entrepreneur. We've got a soap maker turned techie queen. I mean, it's a lot in the mix. What do you see is the thread that binds everybody together? And then what is it that you see that causes all of the various, I think I used the word anomaly, that causes the varied backgrounds to work together? I've not seen anybody step on anybody's toes. Everybody just kind of, it's just like they just flow in a certain direction and everything works. What is it that you would attribute that to?
I think since everybody does something different, I think that one thing that holds us together is our fondness for events. So there are people who host hybrids, people who only host virtual, people who only host in person, and we all do very different things, like you said, but that one thing that holds us together is our ability to hold events. So people can come up with different promotion ideas, people come up with different engagement ideas, people come up with different repurposing and distribution ideas for that event, and they can help you because they have this whole different perspective on events because they all do different things.
Let's talk about the reflecting on your event launch and the measuring of success. What would be your formula for that focus? How does that look to you?
So you got to write it down. If you didn't write it down, it's not true and it's not going to happen. So what I want from the events that I have or I host, I want to have people join a virtual summiteers peer group. I want them to join my email list. I want them to see me as the expert in my field. There's one more, but I can't remember what it is right now, and I hate when it happens. But I have this list of five things that I want to get from hosting an event because I truly believe those are the things you get from hosting an event.
Okay, so those are your KPIs. These are the deliverables. These are, I can measure against this, and if I achieve this, then a success. If not, I need to go back to the drawing board and figure the thing out. Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The metrics. When it comes to the things that you set up, the goals that you want to achieve, is there a package that is like everybody should be thinking about it this way, or is it nuanced? And if so, what does that nuance look like?
I'm gonna go with nuance because everybody's not the same person. Everybody doesn't feel the same vibe. In the virtual summiteers, I've taken the top four attendees and we're hosting a four-part series, like the four-part series I just did or still doing right now. One of the things is a panel discussion, but everybody doesn't feel a panel discussion. And I wanted that panel discussion because I wanted you to be associated with experts in your industry. Mm-hmm. But some people say that's redundant. And I'm okay with that because their solution for that was a workshop. And I understand having an event centered on the one person, showing more of their own expertise. And I'm really fine with that because I want the people watching to get to know you. And I really do believe that if people get to know you, they'll like and trust you. They'll want to work with you. They'll want to collaborate. They'll want to pay you for your knowledge. So it's not just, yes, you can have an agenda like I have that four-part series, but it's okay to change it. And if that four events, there's many different kinds of events. So we got to figure out what will best represent you and what light you would shine the best in.
What's been some of the feedback from your, okay, we talked about the attendees and saying, love that you turned off the live stream, gave them the freedom of being able to now freely share. And I guess that makes sense. You know, folks may not necessarily want their questions out in a public arena, particularly if they are using your space as a pool in order to draw more expertise out in order to do what they do better. I get that. The experts, what's the feedback from their having come onto the Virtual Summiteers? Like, why should other experts look at Virtual Summiteers as a place, as a hub to come and share their expertise in order to grow their business?
So, since our group is also experts, the expert that come in and talk with us, they get expert feedback. They get to know how did they talk, how did their talk go over with fellow experts. They get to know how did their product or demo could be better, how their product could be or service could be used in a different light, because sometimes the speakers have aha moments due from talking with the audience in the Virtual Summiteers. So I really like that too. Some of the people are really surprised, and from the suggestions, virtual event platforms. I think we talked with, I can't remember his name right now, but he ran Event Titans. And it was suggested that he raise more money through AppSumo. He did exactly that. He reached back out to us and we helped support him, and he was very happy about that. I'm not sure if you were there or if you remember him. I want to call his, say his name is Sava, Sava?
The name sounds, well, the Event Titans name sounds familiar, and I'm trying to remember, did he leverage one of the platforms, Remo or something like that, or?
Yeah, he has his own platform. It's called Event Titans.
Okay. Got it. Yeah, I might have seen that, or I might have seen the replay, possibly. Okay, very good.
Same with Benjamin Dale. He's been on our platform twice to talk to us about Hey Summit, the new features that's come out. He's listened to our suggestions to make more features. So I thought that was really nice of him.
Yeah, that's great. You know, I'm a firm believer in marketing the marketing. And you've got a protocol on how you reach out to folks and this, that, and the other. And this may be valuable to folks who are thinking of running their own virtual summits, their own virtual spaces, events, things like that, or in person or hybrids. What does that protocol look like for you when it comes to making sure that people know about the events coming up, make sure that they are engaged in the posts along the way, maybe even those who weren't able to make the actual event, but they need to know the information. How do you go about making sure that your community is served in the best way?
Oh, you've heard of the 11 touch points of marketing, right? So I try
to... Looking forward to... I think you're going to tell me about it right now. Now that you brought this up, I need to know.
Well, they say you can put something out once, and there's a good chance your target audience will not see it. There's a very good chance that you can put it out five times, and they will not see it. Because if you're using social media, they have the right to share your stuff or not. You're on their platform, not yours, and they don't have to do anything you tell them to or ask. So the more you put that information out, so sometimes it's not enough to create a Facebook event. It's not enough to put that in your Facebook group. It's not enough to tag everyone. It's not enough to send them emails. Sometimes it's not enough to DM people. And sometimes they will not see your emails or blog posts. But maybe the very next day, that audio that you put out, they saw it. And they only heard maybe 5 minutes out of a 10-minute clip. Then after that, they saw a video clip of you talking about that event. Then after that, they see a whole YouTube playlist of you talking about that event. And you're sharing resources with them through the video clips. So you can't just put it out one time and that's it. You can't just email them one time or three times. Everybody doesn't consume information the same way. Everybody doesn't like video. Everybody doesn't like to read. There's a good many people who just like the audio. So the more you put out, there's a good chance that one of those touch points is going to touch your target audience.
Love that. Love that. Yeah, so you are making sure that you're not leaving it to chance. I also noticed something in your explanation where that ego wasn't present. And this is how that looks. Ooh, I don't want to pester the person. I don't want to chance of offending them. Let me just reach out once. If they don't respond, I'll get the message. You don't do that. So you reach out in a ton of different ways. Why should folks adapt that mechanism, you know, that protocol that you do, as opposed to being a little bit more timid about it and saying, you know what, I've reached out a couple of times and anything more is just going to look like they are just being bombarded and pestered, so let me not do that. What's the hazard of that?
Well, I love reiteration. And like I said, I assume, I know I'm not supposed to, but I do assume that other people also love reiteration. And sometimes when people send me messages, I'll click on them and then forget that they have sent me a message. And since it's no longer marked, I forgot.
And is there a template that you have that you go by when it comes to the messages that you put out? Is there a specific way that you go about doing it, or is everything just on the fly? You just, okay, well, I'm feeling it like this today, and I'm just going to send it out. How does that work for you?
I have done that, and it hadn't worked out so well for me. So now, yeah, I do have a plan. And that plan, have you heard of sistering?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so in graphic design, if you know that you have like a series of virtual events, you can design that four-part series as sisters. So that's a font or a picture, something that's similar. For this four-part event, I chose one word, it's in cursive, and it looks like another event that has happened. So I want to create something that says, hey, that looks familiar. Where have I seen that from? So with that, if I create an event in advance, I get to do the sistering for the promotion. I get to have an idea of what I want people to get out of the whole picture if I do it all at one time. So that's my plan. That's my strategy to know what I'm going to do. I know I'm going to do a four-part series. I know I'm going to have images that look similar, and I know I'm going to have an entire outcome of the whole big picture. Mm-hmm. So I like
that
to do
a major nugget. Because, you know, as you say that, I do recognize that there is a certain look and feel that I get from the creatives that you put out. And by creatives, I mean, you know, every time that she sends a communication, every time that she sends a graphic, there are things that are familiar with it that I now associate with Erica Bates. Mm-hmm. And so what you're doing is very effective, just to let you know, because I do see that common thread that's running through everything, and I'm looking forward to, oh, I wonder what the next thing is going to be. So sistering. Okay, so if you've not understood that before, now make sure that you write that down, sistering. It's the first time that I've heard it, but it makes perfect sense. You're creating continuity. Tell me something. Knowing if you've done something correct, according to not just you. Because sometimes we can operate in a vacuum. And that vacuum looks like, all right, I've got these KPIs. I need to hit 500 people, and I need to have 100 attendees. I need to have this, that, and the other. And then you make those marks. You get those numbers, right? Now, I think it can be easy for us to say, great, hit the mark. I'm good. But there's another level to that, because maybe I shot too low. Maybe that 500 should have been 5,000. Maybe I should have pressed a little bit more, and I am used to hitting the 500 mark. So what does that look like for you when it comes to feedback? Because if you hit everything that you wanted to hit and you stop there, then do you develop the confidence that, well, next time I make another goal, I'm going to hit that? Or do you start to ask the questions, hey, you know what? What's missing? What could be better? What does that look like for you? How do you put together your feedback loop?
So when the event is still live, I got to tell you, I'm nosy. I think you know this. I got to ask people right there and then because I want to know. So before the event ends, I usually ask, what'd you think? Did you get anything from it? Would you do anything differently? Would you like to add anything if we do this again? So I know I'm supposed to have like polls right after, because some people or everybody's not going to raise their hand and say, hey, I didn't want to talk in front of everybody, but could you do this, 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 and this? So I drag my feet on that part, but I know I'm supposed to do it. And I will encourage everyone else that you're supposed to send out follow-up questions, a survey. But I really like talking to people right there and then to get that instant feedback.
I think that that is more powerful, to tell you the truth, because for one, you've got a captive audience. Not that you don't do the other thing, but you've got a captive audience, and you can see based on their expressions, their inflection, how they really feel about it. Sometimes we can, default to, let me say the things that are great and all of that. And so we can put in, oh, we thought everything was great, which doesn't help you build. We can also, at the time when we ask the question and then we get the answer, oh, it was great, we can see by the micro expression, I mean, there's something missing, you know? And then we can probe a little deeper. What has that probing looked like for you when you knew that the answer you got was the safe answer and it was the expected answer, but you wanted to know in order to grow? How did you pursue that information?
A good many people on my events already know me, and I'll tell them, tell the truth. You know I'm nosy, and I want to know. So one event I hosted, I asked everybody what was their takeaways, what can we change about this. And they said it was great content. I didn't get to spend much time with the speakers. The talks were too close together. I didn't get a chance to stand up, walk around, drink water, stuff like that. So now I know to adjust. People want to spend more time with the speakers. People want not just to go to a lounge. They want to be right there with the speaker. Like the speaker can bring them up on stage, or the speaker could read more of their comments. They don't want to go away somewhere else to speak with that speaker because another talk was coming up and they didn't want to miss it. Mm-hmm. So I understood that.
That's good. Oh, I like that. When you get that kind of feedback, how long does it take you from feedback to for full-on launch implementation?
Well, I really understood that. The whole fear of missing out with events or multi-track events, I understand that that's for more ticket sales. I don't want to do that. I want to go to an event because I want the information you told me I was going to get. Mm-hmm. And if that speaker's there actually giving me the information that I came for, I want to hang out more with that speaker. So I truly understood that because I know how that feels.
Yeah. That's good. So you're basically taking the things that you want to get and you're making sure that your community is benefiting from the same thing. What number, if at all, any or percentage, do you look for when it comes to feedback in order to make a move on it? I mean, some may say, yeah, five people tell me something, but then others may say, look, I look for a specific percentage. If I have 5,000 people attend and only five people say something, it may not be enough to move the needle for you, or it may. So what does that look like for you? Is there a percentage? Is there a number? Or is there just something, a feeling? What is it?
I am a little slow to catch on. Like when we were hosting our event innovator insight sessions on Air Meat, not only you told me that you didn't care for Air Meat because it wouldn't let you use your phone. But you weren't the only one. Everyone told me, except for one person. And I had to change because I wanted everybody to be a part of the conversation. I didn't want you to feel left out. But everybody hated that platform. But hopefully now, I'm not bad-mouthing them because I really do like the platform. I still like the platform. And maybe now they've made adjustments. Maybe now you can use them on your phone. Maybe now people don't get lost in the different four-part chats. Maybe now people understand the platform a little more. Or maybe I've gotten better at giving directions about which chat to use, how to use it on your phone, hopefully.
Awesome. Love that. So I want to know what your thoughts are on how it looks to expand the reach of virtual summiteers, how you can go about serving more people. What are your plans for that?
That is a really good question. So I've been trying a few things, like with our Event Innovator Insight Sessions. That happens on Fridays, the first Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. That will have its own YouTube channel. That will have its own set of clips. That will have the invitation to apply for to be with us live, and it will have an on-demand membership. Not only that, I can take that RSS feed from that YouTube channel and send it to my scheduler, and I can send out each video or each clip to go out a minimum of 9 times throughout the year on all of my social platforms, just to get the word out. I have a LinkedIn newsletter talking about the recaps of our Summiteers sessions, and that has a really good subscription rate. So I'm trying those things out, and hopefully they're going to work out. So let's see, it's March now. No, it's not March, it's April. We're in the first month of the second quarter. Right. I can count, Jason. So no takers at the beginning of the month. We have had visitors. So now I'm trying to figure out how I can get those visitors to stay with us. So after they sign up for an event, they're on an email list, and that email will recap the event and invite them to join the live or the on-demand sessions.
Hmm. Organization, when you were talking about all of those components, I'm asking this question for those who say, you know what, Erica, that's great for you. This is what you do. This is your space. I don't feel that I could ever do that. What would you tell that individual who really should be producing virtual summits, events, hybrid events, in-person events? What would you tell them in relation to that organizational piece to keep things organized, keep them concise? Everything is just like on schedule. What's the word for them?
I gotta tell you, Jason, I'm lazy, and if it was not in that order, I'm most likely not going to look for it. So everything has to be in order because I feel like I need these things, and since I know I'm not going to look for it, they gotta be in those folders. They gotta be where I've placed them so I can use them later because I repurpose everything. I'm not going to put out something one time and that's it. It's gotta be reused because I took time and effort and energy to make those things. So when you're organized, let's say for a Friday session, it's recorded on Zoom, it's downloaded to my desktop, it's uploaded to IceDrive, it's put on YouTube, it's put in our Summiteers membership site. It goes to an audio recap, and the transcripts are made for blog posts and newsletters and emails. All of those have to be in that one folder, or else I'm going to lose it forever, because for me, that's a lot of moving parts. And if it's not done that day, there's a good chance I'm going to lose it. And I don't want to lose this stuff, because you guys give such great information. And I know other people are going to want that, those great tips you share. So I have to put it out on a schedule, because people need that information, I feel like.
Okay, so last question, I do believe. Unless something else stirs up after you answer this question, I want to know what organizations, what businesses, what individuals would be a great fit for creating a virtual summit, for creating an event, a hybrid. Like, who is this good for? Who will this information work for?
So I like to work with SaaS companies. You know, Hey Summit, Book Like a Boss, OneStream Live. I like to work with the SaaS companies because I like SaaS tools. They know what I'm talking about, and it's easy for them to understand what I'm saying. I understand what they're saying, and it's a great way to be an affiliate. It's a great way to get the word about their product or service, and I know a lot of people like SaaS tools.
Okay, so that's SaaS. So then, am I hearing that if they don't have a SaaS company, then they should not be doing a virtual summit, or should not be doing an open event? Or is there some other areas, other industries that would serve well?
Work with a lot of people who, some people have put out books, and they kicked off their book sales with a virtual event. I've worked with people in the woo spirituality. I want to say essential oils, something else, marketing. Mm-hmm. I also love marketing, and graphic designers. Okay. So all of those have put out virtual events. Some of them were kickoffs, like the lady who did the book, and some of them were just strategy sessions where they brought people in to talk more about marketing and, what was it? The woo spirituality. That was a 3-day virtual event, and they are all talking about their different forms of woo, as they call it.
Okay. So you've now showed us that you can span the gamut from SaaS companies all the way down to woo, authors, publishers, marketers, masterminds. They all have a place with these events. Mm. Who is the event not good for?
Oh. I've met two people who said they would never host a virtual event, and I am still not sure why.
Okay, but, so is that just their opinion, or were they actually not a good fit for events like that, virtual summits and things like that?
I think they were scared. Okay. So when I started, I was also scared, but my mentor said, do it anyway. And he said, if you don't want to do it by yourself, ask for help. And if you don't do it and you have asked for help, I'm not going to hang out with you anymore. So that was enough for me to get started.
Mm. Nice. Good mentor. Good work. Wow. Erica, we have come to the portion where we open up the floor for Q&A. I want to know, though, if there's anything that we didn't cover that needs to be covered.
So hopefully I have invited you to come check out the Virtual Summiteers Peer Group. We meet every Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. That is 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Hopefully that will still be okay for you. Right now, we are hosting our most active members in a 4-part series. V. Jason Hodge will be up next month, the 22nd of April. That will be his introductory. Yes, that's you. The 22nd will be Jason's introductory interview, and he's going to help us understand about mastering your media.
Looking forward to that.
So, yeah.
All right. Okay, well, let's open up the floor then for Q&A and to see if there's any questions out there. Maybe you're at this crossroads and you don't know if virtual summits are good for you, if it's a good fit to run an event, whether it's hybrid, in person, online, you know, whatever that is. Or if you have something, a question that has popped up or a comment that happened during this interview and you're like, you know what, I'd like to say this or I'd like to ask about this, now's the time to ask the question. So what question do you have? Where do we have that knowledge to find out who's asking what?
See, let me pull something up.
And like one of that, the. I learned a lot today. I'm actually grateful that I'm doing the interview because I learned some things here.
Hooray! It's always good to find new information.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, useful.
Absolutely, absolutely.
See. I think you asked this though. Did any attendees follow up with you or join your community afterwards? What does that say about the lasting impact of these events? So, like I said, I've had people come on and join us, but no takers for the signups for the on demand or the live sessions yet.
And while you're looking for others, I've got a question. Where do you see yourself, Virtual Summiteers, Talk Virtual, in the next 5 years?
So hopefully I will have a lot more help, a lot more, what are they called, admins for the community space, someone to direct people or help them with the resources. So you get a lot of good resources, not just from me, but also from the other members. Mm-hmm. And that's a part of our community, just sharing stuff. So what was it? We have members who do walkthroughs. We have members who do demos. We have members who talk about new strategies. And I think that's so amazing that they feel, free enough to share that information. Like, it's okay. And I really like that.
Nice. That is
cool. Okay.
Some other questions.
As someone joining this journey for the deep dive, what stood out to you about the structure or promotion of the series from the outside looking in?
Nice. Who asked that question? That's great.
There's no name.
Okay. All right.
What stood out is that more people read the email recap than watch live. Then after that, more people read the article on LinkedIn than watch live. And after that, it was more people who watched the replay. So, like I said, many different touch points because everybody's not going to want to watch video or not have the time to hang out with you live.
You know, I'd like to point something out. Okay, so you just read those numbers on more, took the recap, you know, the notes, the summary, and then more read the article, and then more watched the replay. But in all of those, you had numbers that were growing that were more than the original.
Mm-hmm. And
oftentimes, folks will get caught up, whether it's individuals, organizations, startups, you name it. They get caught up in what happens in the live without understanding that you never record for the live. You record for the later. Okay? Just change the L's. You record for the later. What ends up happening is that you make sure that during your live, you have all of the nuggets in there that is going to benefit you later. And that way, the later folks will look at it and say, wow, that was some solid information. What would it have looked like had I been there live? I could have asked my own questions. I could have gotten an in-depth response to the question that I had, maybe the burning question that would help propel your business forward. And you base that on the strength of the content that happened in the replay and the summary and all of that. So when you record for the later, change your L, what ends up happening is that that value can be repurposed, and then it can spread beyond just the day of the event. I remember years ago I had a mentor who was talking about one of the largest jazz festivals in the world, and it was attended by only 16 people in person. The rest was hybrid, and I was like, that's interesting. Now, this was over 20 years ago when we talked about that, but I never lost sight of that. That always stood in my memory, that if you do the live right, your later can drive more revenue, more traffic, more engagement, more membership, more whatever it is that you can fill in the blank with the more. So think about it from that standpoint. Really fill in the blanks of your live so that your later can work for you when you're asleep, when you're not working.
Yes. Now, I like to say, just because your event ended doesn't mean it's over. There's still plenty of repurposing to be done.
That's a bar right there, Erica. Just because your event ended doesn't mean it's over. I love that. You should have a t-shirt that says that. Just because your event ended does not mean it's over. I love that. That's great. Good stuff. All right. Well, next week, we will be talking about mastering your media and looking at what my topic is going to be. And let me tell you, I am having a geek fest with this one. So for those of you who do want to know how to leverage media to grow your impact, your celebrity, your reach, whatever that is, then you're going to want to tune in. And I would suggest that you tune in live, because I love questions. I love questions, and I love giving solid answers. So if you're looking for a question that is going to be answered with not only the answer, but the resources, the wherewithal to actually implement that answer, then you're going to want to be there live. If you're okay with the later, I'm okay with you being okay with the later. Okay. What you may want to do is reach out to Erica inside of Virtual Summiteers and say, hey, you know what? I may not be able to be there live. However, here's some questions that I would like answered in the scope of what it is that you do in the midst of that interview, the pre-interview. And then when we have time, like we did today at the end of the Q&A, I will go through and answer each one of those questions. I mean, God willing, if it's like 1,000 questions, that's not going to happen. But I will answer as many as humanly possible and as many that are on target with what it is that we're going for. And that is the wherewithal for you to master your media. How do you show up at whatever you're doing, fully understanding and embracing what your pillars are, what you're there to do, the outcomes that you're looking for, and the impact that you want to make on your marketplace in a way where they are moving not only by logic, but also by emotion, and the two aren't conflicting? What is it that you need to do now inside of your business that you may not be doing that is keeping you from actually achieving the goals that you set out to achieve? And maybe you don't understand the mechanism on why that's happening. Maybe you're not making the connection with your audience that you need to make. Maybe you're just going through the motions and you're just doing a bunch of stuff, but you don't have a rhyme or reason as to why you're doing it. If you want to know how to dive into that, how to dissect it, how to unpack it, how to make sure that what you do actually makes good business sense for you, and that is being able to think down the line, I'm going to do this now in order to get the payoff later, then you're going to want to attend that interview and then the series that I'll be doing on in the month of May on Mastering Your Media, okay? And we're going to be going into media architecture. We're going to be going into Q&A. We're going to be going into how do you leverage each mechanism that is going to help your business? How are you going to leverage your pillars? How are you going to leverage your values so that you're never in conflict with yourself? And on that note, we're going to talk about How do you move into your call to action so that people know what to do next when it comes to your offers? All right. So, Erica, I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Me too. I'm already excited.
Awesome.
Well, you can find me on LinkedIn. And I think, Jason, is your platform also LinkedIn?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn. And that's by and large because of you, Erica. You kept on communicating me through LinkedIn. So I'm like, I guess I got to go over to LinkedIn now and stay on LinkedIn. Erica.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Jason. I appreciate you sharing your time and energy with us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Erica. You have a great one.
You too. Bye for now.
Thank you.